the state, the country here over on the West Coast. And but they know what we're doing down here in Florida, and they approve of it. Both of them have donated banjos as a first and second place prize, and we're real thankful to Gold Tone and Deering for that. As I said, we've really worked hard this year to try to reach out. Yeah, let's give them a round of applause. We've really worked hard to partner with a lot of you and find out what it is you want at the Florida Folk Festival. We've also worked hard to try to partner with some very special sponsorships, folks that really support the arts and humanities here in Florida, as well as the Southeast. And the next act that we've got coming up is a wonderful group that's been coming to the festival off and on for decades, actually, if truth to be known. And I want to tell you about a little bit before I introduce them about the organization that brought them to us. The Southern Arts Federation is not a stranger to the Florida Folk Festival. In fact, a lot of you probably know the head of the traditional arts program there, Teresa Hollingsworth, used to be with the Florida Folklife program. And before her, it was Peggy Bulger, who used to help direct the festival right down here, and she was back with us last year. But the Southern Arts Federation has supported traveling traditional arts and providing professional development to traditional artists throughout the United States, from Minnesota to L.A. to right here in Florida. And one of their major primary work is actually providing professional development, but also touring roster artists, helping people come from out of state to a neighboring state within the southeastern United States. They serve a large geographic area, and we're real thankful to get a nice grant from them to bring in the Georgia Sea Island Singers. Georgia Sea Island Singers, as I said, have been coming here to the Florida Folk Festival off and on for decades. They were, Miss Frankie Quimby was a good friend with Cousin Thelma Bolton, and always enjoyed coming out here and presenting to the traditions from the Sea Island region. I was talking with them backstage, and I asked them, have you all ever received a National Heritage Award? And they go, we've been nominated, but we've never got one. And I think all of us that enjoy the show tonight and have been listening today should take out a little pencil and paper and write the folks up in Washington, D.C., tell them we think these folks are special and they should receive a National Heritage Award. As I've been walking around the grounds, folks found out, they kept saying, where's the Georgia Sea Island Singers? Where are they performing? And in fact, I kept them real busy today. That was all part of that grant that I wrote to the Southern Arts Federation. I kept them hopping from stage to stage. And last year, they actually were part of our Saturday night lineup, I believe it was. And I gave them a short set, and everyone said, oh, I could have listened to them for hours. They were great. So I thought bringing them back out here this year, we'd let them do a little bit longer, maybe tell us a little bit about the Gullah language and the traditions along the Georgia Sea Island area. Interesting traditions that they have there. How are we doing, folks? They say they're close. So I'm going to tell you a little bit more about some of our other things that we've got going while they're finishing up this set up here. We've had a lot of wonderful workshops and things going on at the festival this weekend, and we're going to continue those workshops. Kevin Roth, that you heard here this evening, he's going to be doing a dulcimer workshop here. Ken Perlman's going to be doing a banjo workshop tomorrow. We've got Mark Johnson coming in to do a clawgrass workshop. I hear some supporters out there. And as well as Norman Blake is going to be doing a guitar workshop at the Heritage Stage on Sunday. So we've worked really hard not just to bring in talent that is indigenous of Florida and of the Southeast and of national caliber, but we try to bring in things that are going to give you one-on-one time, some special up-close experiences with these artists, and I hope that you're enjoying those neat opportunities and taking advantage of that. I see him standing there, and I don't see anybody else doing much. And she's yet saying we're set. So I want to say, I want to thank Miss Frankie Quimby and Doug Quimby and the Georgia Sea Island Singers for coming to the Florida Folk Festival.
Hello. it's just good to be here with you tonight. We didn't have to drive for about 2 hours to get to work today to share with you. We didn't have to fly all over the country. But you know, it's a good thing to be here with you, and we are glad to be here with you. We are the Georgia Sea Island Singers, and we do live off the coast of Georgia on the Atlantic Ocean. As you know, it's a string of islands strung along the Atlantic Ocean. They are called sea islands. In the states of Florida, Georgia, South, and North Carolina, there's a very unique language that's being spoken in those areas today. That language today, it's called Gullah. It's spelled G-U-L-L-A-H. Years ago, the language and the people that spoke the language were called Geechies. But today, the language is called Gullah, but the people that speaks this language along the coast of Florida, Georgia, South, and the Outer Banks of North Carolina are still being called Geechee Gullah-speaking people. Now, we are going to let you know that we are glad to be here with you tonight on this 51st Florida Folk Festival by the way our ancestors had to do over 200 years ago. When they would meet on the plantation, like maybe this Sunday, this young man would take his slaves over to this young lady's plantation this Sunday. And maybe the next Sunday, Tony or Doug would take their slaves over to this lady's plantation. And when our ancestors would meet together with their friends or their families on Sunday evening, they were not allowed to walk up and embrace each other like we are able to do today when we meet our relatives, our friends. But being very creative and intelligent, they got together and they created this song, and they would sing it while they were walking around greeting each other, letting them know through music that I'm glad to see you today. And that song today is So Glad I'm Here.
So glad I'm here.
Yes, I'm
so glad I'm here.
Children, I'm
so glad I'm here. In Jesus' name.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. So glad I'm here.
Yes, I'm
so glad I'm here.
Children, I'm
so glad I'm here.
In Jesus' name.
It was love brought me here.
Yes,
love brought me here.
Children,
love brought me here.
In Jesus' name. Yes,
love brought me here.
Children,
love brought me here.
In Jesus' name.
It was joy brought me here.
Yes,
joy brought me here.
Children,
joy brought me here. In Jesus' name.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Joy brought me here.
Yes,
joy brought me here.
Children,
joy brought me here.
In Jesus' name.
That's why I'm so glad I'm here.
Yes, I'm
so glad I'm here.
Children,
I'm so glad I'm here. In Jesus' name.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. So glad I'm here.
Yes,
I'm so glad I'm here.
Children,
I'm so glad I'm here.
In Jesus' name.
So glad I'm here.
Yes, I'm so glad I'm here.
Children,
I'm so glad I'm here. In Jesus' name.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. So glad I'm here.
Yes, I'm
so glad I'm here.
Children,
I'm so glad I'm here.
In Jesus' name.
Truly, we are glad to be here. Now, I'm going to share with you songs, games, and dances that our ancestors created over 200 years ago on the plantations. Now, during the time of slavery, when the men would work on the ship being seaport towns, when the ships would come in, the captain of the ships would pay the slave owners doing slavery because, remember, they owned them. But after freedom, when the black men would work on the ship, they were supposed to pay them. And those captains would tell them when they would come into port, if you load this ship for me today, I will pay you tomorrow. And after those men have done the work on the ships, the captains would get in their ship and sail out without paying them. Those men were free at that time, but they were still afraid to say, like you would say today in this generation, look, man, I'm not going to work for you if you don't pay me. But being very creative and intelligent, they got together and they created this song, and they would sing it while they were doing the work on the ship, hoping that the captain of the ship would hear them singing while they were working and realize that they were singing because they wanted to be paid for working. And the song that they created and sung was Pay Me My Money Down. Now, that's just as plain as you can get it. Now, it's a call and response song, as well as a sea shanty, as well as a work song. Now, Tony's going to do the call, and we need you to do the response because you, audience, are a part of this performance. Now, Tony's going to begin by singing,
Pay me, pay me.
And your response will be,
Pay me my money down.
Then Tony will say,
Pay me or go to jail.
And audience, we all will sing what?
Pay me my money down.
All right, you can remember this. When you go to work Tuesday and your boss man owe you, you can sing this song. Are you ready to sing, audience?
Yes.
All right.
Pay me, pay me.
Come on.
Pay me my money down. Pay me or go to jail.
Pay me my money down.
Now you owe me, you pay me.
Pay me my money down.
Pay me a Mr. Stevie Door.
On the mainland, but on the islands like in Florida, on Amelia Island, in Georgia, on St. Simon's Island, Jekyll Island, Sea Island, in Glenn County where we live today, in South Carolina, Hilton Head Island, and the Outer Banks of North Carolina. You see, those areas were isolated. Those people did not get a chance to come to the mainland very often to hear English spoken. Because in those days, they had to come by boats or by ferries. They didn't have the high-rise bridges that we have today in this generation to go back and forth to the islands. So if they spoke in the Geechee or Gullah language, then they also sung in that language. We are going to demonstrate that same song for you in that beautiful Geechee or Gullah language. Now, while singing it in that language, you are going to hear us say, Now, the reason why those black men would do that, years ago, they did not have machinery like we have today in this generation for loading heavy objects on or off the ship. So if something was very heavy, those men knew how to make their work a lot easier. They would tie a long rope around whatever was heavy that they were trying to pull on or off the ship. They all would get together and pull on the rope. And by whatever they were trying to move being heavy, when they would pull, they would say, and it seemed like whatever they were moving would move a lot easier. You know, men, years ago when your grandfathers were trying to cut wood by hand for cooking their food or heating their houses, and those men would try to get that axe down to that wood by hand, they would say, and it seemed like that axe would go down into that wood a lot easier. That's what I tell the school children. You didn't create today in this generation. Our ancestors were doing that 200 years ago. Same song, same words, listen, in the beautiful Geechee Gullah language.
Amy, you owe me. Amy,
I'm here.
Amy, you owe me.
Amy, I'm here.
If I were your bald mission,
Amy, I'm here.
Then I'd enjoy good rap.
Amy, I'm here.
Then I'd join you, Jack B. Yo.
Amy, I'm here.
My be a sherry day.
Amy, I'm here.
If I were the bald mission,
Amy, I'm here.
Then the break was done.
Amy, I'm here.
As you know, the Gullah language is a mixture of the African dialect and English with the British influence, where in Louisiana, Creole is a mixture of the African dialect and English with French. Now, in the Gullah language, we don't speak as you speak. Now, I'm going to ask Doug if he would sing a song for you in English, and then we will demonstrate that song in the Gullah language to show you some more of the Gullah language before we move to another part of our heritage. Now, we all know the story about Moses and how he led the children out of Egypt land. Remember, those people were slaves in those days. Harriet Tubman was known as the Moses of her generation when she was taken slave from south to north to freedom by the way of the Underground Railroad. Now, Doug is going to sing Moses for you the way you are used to hearing it, and then we will demonstrate it in the beautiful Geechee Gullah language.
Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. Who that yonder dressed in red? Let my people go. Must be the children that Moses led. Let my people go. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt land. Tell
the way you are used to hearing that song sung. You know, it's amazing. When I met Doug over 40-some years ago, and when he opened his mouth to sing, that got it. And when he stopped singing a while ago, you just in awe. That's the way he did me 40-some years ago. And he still got it. Now, we're going to demonstrate that same song for you in the Gullah language. Now, in the Gullah language, when we were singing Pay Me My Money Down, down means now in the Gullah language, where you would say, pay me my money what? Now. In the Gullah language, they would say, pay me my money down, like someone is falling down. Now, where you would say, I am going out into the yard, In the Geechee Gullah language, we do not say yard. In that language, we say
yad.
Yad. Audience, let me hear you say yad. I am going out into the
yad.
We are all in the
yad.
That's right, in the yad. Now, where you would say, oh, there's a fire over there. We won't say there's a fire. We say, oh, there's a fire over there. Let me hear you say fire.
Fire.
All right. You know, and when we come home in the evening when we are tired, like you would say, oh, I'm so tired. We would say, oh, I'm so tired. That's the way we would speak it in the Gullah Geechee language. Now, Doug is going to sing it for you in the Gullah language. Listen, Moses.
Moses, Moses, don't you let King Pharaoh overtake you.
Moses, Moses, don't you let King Pharaoh overtake you.
Moses, Moses,
don't you let King Pharaoh overtake you.
In some lonesome graveyard.
I hear the chariot coming. Ooh,
I hear the chariot coming.
Ooh,
I hear the chariot coming in some lonesome graveyard.
Beautiful Geechee Gullah language. You see, another thing, in the Gullah language, we always speak a lot in the past tense, where you would say, I am going to break this, we would say, I gonna broke them. And where you would say, I am going to leave here, we would say, I gonna left yon. Now, I'm going to read you a story in English where you can understand it, and then I will demonstrate that same story for you in that beautiful Gullah language so that you could hear it spoken fluently. Would you like to hear that? All right. The story is about Sayjo, S-A-Y-J-O-E. This young man was sitting on the dock, and he was sitting with his head down and looking sad. And his friend came up, and he asked him what was wrong with him because he was sitting there looking sad. Now, my grandchildren in this generation would say he was sitting there looking like he had a case of it. But in those days, we would say sad. Now, I'm going to read it in English for you. It said, he said, say Joe. He walked up to him. He said, say Joe. He said, yeah, man. He said, what's wrong with you? He said, I'm mad. He said, I'm mad with James. He said, well, what are you mad about? He said, what did James do to you? He said, he asked me to loan him a dollar. He said, he asked him you to loan him a dollar, and that made you mad? He said, yeah, man, he knows I'm broke. He knows I don't have any money in my pocket. He knows that the clutch is gone in the boat, and my wife is home pregnant, and the northeast wind is blowing, and I can't go out and catch any shrimp. He made me so mad I could break his neck. Now, that's the way you understand the story in English. Now, I'm going to demonstrate it for you the way it was actually said in the Geechee Gullah language. Now, remember I said we speak a lot in the past tense. Okay, listen. He said, say, Joe. He said, yeah, man. He said, what been for wrong with you? He said, I've been mad. You notice he said, I've been mad, not I am mad. He said, I've been mad. He said, what you mad about? He said, I've been mad with our joints. Mad with James, what did James do to you to make you so mad? He said, he asked to loan you a dollar. Not he. When we're talking about male or female, dog or cat, we would say the alphabet E. E asks you to loan he a dollar. And he said, he asked you to loan he a dollar, and that made you mad? He said, yeah, man. He knew I'd been broke, not broke. He knew I'd been broke. I don't got no money in my pocket. He know that the clutch is going in the boat and the wife is home in a dollar costet. That means she's home pregnant. And you, but in Gullah, it's a bad word to say she's pregnant. So you either say she's home in a delicate state, or she's home because she swallowed a pumpkin seed, or she's home because she broke a leg. Anything but pregnant. He said, she's home in a delicate state, and the northeast wind, she's a blow. You know, when the northeast wind is blowing, the shrimp boats can't go out and catch any seafood. But you notice, ladies, it said, and the northeast wind, she's a blow. When something go wrong, they always say us, she. Ever since Eve time, they said she, when something goes wrong. And the northeast wind, she's a blow, and I can't go out and catch no swamp. You see, in the Gullah language, they take the R out of shrimp. And either they'll put an S on it and say swimps. And he asked to loan you a dollar, make I so mad like a broke neck. Now, I'm going to go all the way through so that you could understand the conversation the way it was actually said. He said, say, Joe. He said, yeah, man, what's been for wrong with you? He said, I've been mad. What you mad about? I've been mad about that James. Mad with James. What did James do you to make you so mad? He excited to loan you a dollar, and that made you mad? Yeah, man, he knew I'd been broke. I don't got no money in my pocket. He know that the clutch is gone in the boat, and the wife is home in a dollar. I stayed in the northeast when she's a blow, and I can't go out and catch no swim, and he excited to loan you a dollar. Make I so mad like a broke neck. Were you able to keep up with me, baby? That beautiful Geechee or Gullah language, we are proud of that language. That language is our identity there on that slave coast on the Atlantic Ocean. Now, to share another part of that heritage, on St. Simon's Island, Georgia, on the north end, there's a historical spot where during the time of slavery, a ship went to Africa to bring people to America to sell them for slaves. And while they were over in Africa on this particular trip, they went by the Igbo tribe. They found 18 grown people, and they fooled them. They didn't force them. They fooled them and told them, we want you to go to America to work. When they got here in America on St. Simon's Island, Georgia, on Dunbar Creek, where they would load and unload slaves, that's when they found out they were going to be slaves. All 18 from the Igbo tribe on that particular trip said no. Rather than to be a slave, we would rather be dead. They linked themselves together with chains to keep anyone from backing out at the last moment. Went down and said a prayer. They were saying, water brought us here to America, and water is going to carry us away. They backed themselves out into Dunbar Creek, and they drowned themselves. Today, that's a historical spot on St. Simon's Island, Georgia, there on Dunbar Creek. Today it's called Igbo's Landing. And as they were going down, they were singing a song we sang today in this generation, and a song that was sung in the 60s with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on the civil rights marches. They were singing, freedom, freedom over me. Before I'll be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave, go home to my Lord and be free. Tony's going to begin that song off. Then I want all of us, let's join in and sing this song together.
Oh, freedom. I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free.
Let's sing that together.
Oh, oh freedom. Oh. I'll be buried in my grave.
there on St. Simon's Island, Georgia today is the historical spot, Ebo's Landing. Doug and I were featured in People magazine, and we were standing there on Ebo's Landing on St. Simon's Island, Georgia. Now, another part of our heritage that we were taught that when the first notes were handed down, and the song that our ancestors taught us and that they had created, and it's called Turtle Dove. And they want to feel like this is when Adam and Eve had sinned and the first note was handed down, and they were saying to them, when they had sinned down here, this is what we were taught was handed down to us from generation to generation, that they had sinned. Adam and Eve had sinned. And when they was going, somebody was going to run back up there to heaven and tell it. And they would say, hey, we don't want that mess up here. Yeah, don't tell it to us. Meet us at the door. We don't want to hear it. And it's called Turtle Dove Done Drooped His Wing.
Turtle Dove Done Drooped His Wing. Done Drooped His Wing.
Turtle Dove is Done Drooped His Wing.
Done Drooped His Wing.
Turtle Dove is Done Drooped His Wing. Went on Zion Hill to sing. Adam and Eve, oh no, Adam and Eve, don't tell it to me. Meet me at the door, don't tell it to me. Sasalado of Salasari.
When I get to heaven, I'll know the rule, I know the rule.
When I get to heaven, I'll know the rule.
I'll know the rule.
When I get to heaven, I'll know the rule. I'm going down to the bathing pool. Adam and Eve, oh no. Adam and Eve, don't tell it to me. Meet me at the door, don't tell it to me. Sasalado on Salasari.
My name is written on David's line, on David's line.
My name is written on David's line. My name is written on David's line. I'm going to heaven on the wheels of time. Adam and Eve, oh no. Adam and Eve, don't tell it to me. Meet me at the door, don't tell it to me. Sasalado on Salasari.
Do, re, mi, fa, la, si, do, fa, la, si, do.
Do, re, mi, fa, la, si, do.
Fa, la, si, do.
Adam and Eve, don't tell it to me. Meet me at the door, don't tell it to me. Sa, sa, la, do, on, sa, la, si, re.
Turtle Dove Done Drooped His Wing. Now I'm going to add to change it around to another part of our heritage. And, you know, during the time of slavery, our ancestors had to work on those plantations from Monday through Saturday. And then on Sunday evening, they had to entertain the slave owners by singing and dancing on the plantation. Why? Because the slave owners didn't have televisions, stereos, and they definitely didn't have Nintendos and videos. One little second grader said, what? And you know, ladies, those ladies in that generation, they did not have to deal with a football game and a baseball game every Sunday like we have to do in this generation. So they would create songs, games, and dances to get pressure off of them, or they'd create one to talk to the slave owners through it, or just one to amuse themselves. Now, one of the games that the slaves created that you are familiar with today in this generation, 200 years later, the game is Hambone. Hambone was created on the plantation because of this situation. When they would kill hogs, they wouldn't give our ancestors any of the good parts of the meat. And they would cut all the meat off of a ham bone and give the bone to one of them. That person would take that bone and cut it up and share it with the others all around that plantation, helping each other to survive. Audience, did you know that's why the famous line is in our generation today, 200 years later, that famous line today is, Hambone, Hambone, where have you been? The response is, all around the world and back again. Our ancestors were singing a code message using music. You gave it to me, but I shared it with my friends and relatives all around this plantation, helping them to survive. One person would take a piece of that ham bone and season their collard greens, like that church had up on that hill somewhere today. They would season their collard greens, their mustard or turnip greens. Another person would take a piece of that ham bone and season their butter beans or their peas. That's why today, 200 years later, we season our vegetables with ham. It was handed down by our ancestors. You know, we were doing a concert at a church, and I asked the congregation, because in the song that they created, they talked about the wagon wheels, because they rode in horse and wagons, so they talked about the wagon wheels. They didn't have whiskey stores to go out and buy their whiskey in those days. They made moonshine, homebrew, and wine. And they made it at home in jugs and in kegs. And at this church, I asked that question. I said, how many of you in here knows about drinking homebrew? Nobody would hold their hand up. The deacons in the deacon corner with the stewardess, they wouldn't hold their hand up. The mothers in the mother corner with the missionaries, they wouldn't hold their hand up. So finally the preacher said, and then everybody hand went up. The whole church hand went up. So I'm going to ask Tony if he would do ham bone and go through the whole ritual to show you where it came from. Now, young people in the audience, I want you to listen at the way the slaves were rapping on the plantation 200 years ago. And you will see, young people, that in your generation today, Snoop Doggy Dog and Lil Bow Wow, and they got one now called 50 Cent. And one name is Tupac or Partoo or something. And you will see, young people, that they did not create rapping in your generation today. They just took rapping in today's generation and blew it out of proportion. Listen at the way the slaves were rapping on the plantation about what was happening 200 years ago.
It yet amazes me how the technology has come so far and how to communicate one with another. 200 years ago, you know, they didn't have like we have now with technology to communicate one with another. You know, like when me and mom, when we on the road or something like that, I could just hit my cell phone and hit those digits and I can call home. 200 years ago, they didn't have that. They did not have AT&T and Sprint and Bell South and Alltel and none of those good things like we have today. Especially that man that sits up on the mountain and say, do you hear me now? And all in the crowd and even the monkey, they have the monkey saying, do you hear me now? But do you know, during that time, 200 years ago, you know, the Africans, they were smart. They brought back from Africa a drum like you see that is in my hand. And it has rope all around it. And it has skin on both sides. And whenever they want to communicate with their loved ones or their friends from one plantation to the other, they would take this drum and they would put it up under their arm and they would squeeze it. Because they was not allowed to go to one plantation to the other without a written permit. If they was caught without a written permit from one plantation to the other, they would get in big, big trouble. So the drum they created, they would take this drum, put it up under their arm, and they would squeeze it. And long while I squeeze it, it'll stay in that one tune. But if I release it or squeeze it tighter, it would make a different tune and whatever I want to say like this. To believe that this here was the first cell phone. And it is called a talking drum. Technology has come a mighty long way. The drum that is before me is the djembe drum. This is a drum that they make music by to enjoy themselves by. They was not as fortunate as we were today with technology, like I said before, because these days we have our CD players, our cassette players, Oh, man, I tell you, boom boxes and all this good stuff that the kids have today. But you know what? During that time, like if you wanted some music to relax, like you all, when you go home or go get in your car, you can slide in that CD player and play Kenny G and all them Bad Boys and stuff like that. Just enjoy yourself. But when those guys have been in the sun all day long, picking cotton or in the rice field all day long, when they come home, only relaxation they have is the djembe drum. So they would get the drum, and they would make music with the drum. And they would take this drum, and I would like to believe that they made a song, created a song, say, I'll Fly Away. Because they say it's not going to always be like this. So they created a song called I'll Fly Away in the Gullah language people. I fly away when the morning comes, when the morning comes, I will fly away. They took the talking drum away from them because they found out that they was communicating from one plantation to the other, and they did not want them to do that. So they took it away from them. But the djembe drum, they found out that they was tapping out messages on that one to another from one plantation to the other, and found out that they was really enjoying themselves, so it was like a punishment. They took the talking drum away from them and the djembe drum from them. But you know what? Those Africans were smart. They said, that's okay. You can have it. We'll use what we got. Then that's when they begin to use their feet, their bodies, their mouths in order to be able to release stress and to enjoy themselves because they did not have the djembe drum. So this is the reason why hambone was created, because they begin to use their body and they call it the hambone. My dad did the hambone, Pat, on Nickelodeon television, and they showed it on Gullah Gullah Island. And I would do that Pat that he did on Nickelodeon television for you. Using the body in order to make music. Because they did not have the CD player, cassette player, and all those good things like we have today. So they had to use what they had.
Is a bass drum. Listen.
Woo! Using the body in order to be able to make music. But I'm gonna do the hambone pat, and I'm gonna call it out for you. There's an old buck dance that goes with this hambone pat that I will get up and demonstrate for you. I want you to watch and wonder, there's dances you are doing today that come out of this 200-year-old buck dance. And when I get up to do it for you, I want you to just watch and figure in your mind what dances you are doing today that come out of a 200-year-old buck dance. Mama will tell you what those dances are when I finish. But young folks, older folks, make them do it. Okay. I would like for you all to do the pat with me. I'm going to start over. What I'm going to do, I'm going to do the pat. But first, I want you to just listen at the way I do the pat. And then, when I finish, I want you to be a part of it, okay? So, first, only thing I want you to do is listen at the way the Africans did it. They would pat their thighs in rhythm and in time. And when I ask you to come in, then you do it with me. But what those Africans would do is they begin to pat their thighs like this. Then they would bring in their feet. Making music with their bodies. Then they would bring in their mouths. Take away my mouth. Take away my feet. Only thing you hear all over is that pat that I'm doing now. All over. If you will, come on and pat with me. Come on. Hey. When I stop, you stop. Long while I pat, you pat. And when I stop, you stop. Then when I get up to do the ham bone pat, when I stand up to do the dance for you that I was talking about, the old buck dance, please do not pat with me at that time. Only thing I want you to do is just watch. But long while I pat now, you pat. And I'm going to call out the ham bone pat. Young and older folks, this is where rapping come from. Ham bone, pat him on the shoulder. Hand me down the pretty girl, show you how to hold her. Santa Claus was a good old man. Wipe this face in the frying pan. Comb his hair with the wagon wheel. Die with a toothache in his heel. Ham bone, where you been? All around the world and back again. Ham bone, why did you stay? I met a pretty girl and couldn't get away. Ham bone, where did you go? I hopped up to Miss Lucy's dough. Asked Miss Lucy, would she marry me? She said, I don't care if my papa don't care. First came in was Mr. Snake. Crawled all over that wedding cake. Next came in was Mr. Bug. Threw all over that whiskey jug. Next came in was Mr. Coon. We asked him to sing us a wedding tune. Ham.
Ham. Ham bone, where have you been? Nowhere. Nowhere. Nowhere, nowhere, nowhere. 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 Nowhere, nowhere, nowhere.
Did you know out of that one slave buck dance that Tony demonstrated for you, are dances being done today in this generation? Clogging and tap dancing came out of that one slave buck dance. You know, we were at the White House. We had this black tie affair, you know, with President and Mrs. Bush and with the Library of Congress. And then we went to the White House the next morning, had breakfast with them. And then, they fed us good. You all fed us good, I tell you. Okay. And then we sung on the Capitol lawn. And we saw this grove coming, and Mrs. Bush and had all her security guard, about 50 of them, was surrounding her. And Tony got this revelation on stage, because in that song it says, he said, our ancestors said, I hopped up to Miss Lucy's dough, and I asked Miss Lucy, would she marry me? And she said, I don't care if Papa don't care. Because years ago, the young men had to ask the Papa, could he marry their daughter? So Tony got this revelation on stage and said, I hopped up to Miss Laura Bush's though. And I asked her, would she marry me? I said, oh my gosh. He said, I don't care if the president don't care. So she said we were very delightful and you know, and she was just doing the ham bone just like you were doing. She was just down to earth, just doing the ham bone like Tony was doing. We've got one more to do. They said that our time is out. And I'm trying to think of, should I sing Wade in the Water or Amazing Grace? Which one would you like? Amazing Grace. Someone is saying Wade in the Water. Doug. Doug, sing one verse of Wade in the Water.
Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children.
Wade in the water.
Yes,
God's gonna trouble the water.
Who's that yonder dressed in red?
God's gonna trouble the water.
Must be the children that Moses laid.
God's gonna trouble the water.
You just
wait in the water.
Come on and
wait in the water, children. Wait in the water. Yeah, God's gonna trouble the water.
Yeah,
God's gonna trouble the water.
Said he will.
God's gonna trouble the water.
And I do believe that he will.
God's gonna trouble the water.
Yeah,
God's gonna trouble the water.
All right, that was a half a song. Now, Amazing Grace was written by a slave ship captain, and we are going to end that this session with that before John pulled me off this stage. And if you'd like to look at the CDs, we've got everything that we've done tonight up here on CD, and we do have some available tonight if you'd like to purchase one. Amazing Grace.
Oh, amazing grace.
Audience, let's all sing this together to end the program.
How sweet the sound that sings. Talking about
amazing grace
and grace, Lord, and sweet
the sound, the
sound,
the sound that save a wretch
like me,
save a wretch like me.
You know I was
lost,
but now
I'm found, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I'm blind, but now I see, but now I see. Talking about amazing grace
and grace,
amazing grace,
Lord, and sweet
the sound,
the sound,
the sound that
save
a wretch,
save
a wretch
like me.
Like
you know I once was lost, but now I'm found.
I was blind,
but now I see.
Let's hear it again for the Georgia Sea Island Singers. And they do have CDs, and make sure you find your way over there to help them out
Thank
with those.
Thank you very much.
Georgia Sea